You have your Bibles. I want to encourage you to open them to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 6. If you go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke is the third Gospel. As you turn there, I want to ask a question just for you, something for you to think about, and you can go back. We're not going to be there quite yet, Warren. You can go back to that previous image there, but have you ever put a lot of time and effort and energy into something, a lot of resources, a lot of time spent into something, and then only to find yourself really no further along than the person who kind of cut all the corners in that same area, and they seem to be the same place or maybe even better off than you are? That can be kind of discouraging, right, when that happens. You know, you think about, you spent hours studying for a test and you didn't get a better grade than the person who didn't study at all. Or maybe you put so much time and effort into that project, but the person who did everything last minute, they got a better score than you did on that project. Or maybe you spent the whole off season lifting weights and working out, and the kid who spent his days playing video games and watching television, he got the starting spot over you. You worked your tail off for that promotion, but the job was given to someone who, well, they didn't deserve it, right? You know, that's life sometimes, isn't it? That's the reality, but it's not always that way. It's certainly not always going to be that way. Actions have consequences. If not now, eventually, actions have consequences. And what we're going to see today is included in that, of course, is what we believe and how we live our lives. What we believe and the corresponding actions have consequences. And that's what Jesus is teaching here in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. If you want to follow along with me, we're just going to read these four verses, and I want you to really notice what this teaches us about what we believe and then what happens as a result of what we believe. So in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say?" Which, by the way, Jesus isn't asking here for an answer to that question. What he's doing is he's asking for a commitment. And so you're going to see he's not saying, "Hey, answer this question for me." He's saying, "Show the answer by your commitment." So why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to not experience that kind of destruction, but rather that we would be those who hear your word, listen, obey, and act accordingly. We pray for your help, because we know that without exception, everyone in this room, everyone in the fellowship hall, everyone watching online, everyone in this world is completely incapable of doing what your word says because we're sinners. And yet when we trust in the solid rock foundation of Jesus Christ our Lord, we can do what your word says by your help and by your mercy and by your grace. So we pray for that help this morning. We pray for willing hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this series, as we've been talking about what we believe, you'll need to go to the next thing there, Warren, hit go live there on the next thing. We talk about why we believe what we believe by taking a look at the Apostles' Creed and what the Bible says, right? We don't just say, well, we believe this because the Apostles' Creed says it, but it's because the Bible says it, and we've been looking at that and talking about it. We've talked the last couple of weeks about how the creed, the Apostles' Creed, comes from the Bible, and we've talked about the important truth that God created everything from nothing, that we serve and worship a master creator who's over all things. Well, today we're going to look at the fact that Jesus is the foundation. Christianity 101, right? Jesus is the foundation. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the foundation of our faith. And so the Apostles' Creed, up to this point where we've kind of been getting at, is that I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And so that's kind of the first part. That's the first part of the Apostles' Creed. And so here we have the centerpiece of our faith, Jesus. He's the center of it. He's the foundation. The only Son of God, the Lord. He took on flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit, causing a virgin to become pregnant. And then that virgin, still being a virgin, giving birth to the Son of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the foundation of our faith. And so my purpose in the message this morning is that you will follow Jesus as Lord. Truly, there's no other way to follow him. And I want to be clear on that. We don't say, well, I was following Jesus, but then I decided to follow him as Lord. No, you're either following Jesus as Lord or you're not following him at all. He is Lord. And we sometimes wrongly say things like, I made Jesus Lord of my life. No, he's already Lord of your life. He's the Lord of everyone's life. The question is, do you submit to him as Lord? Do you surrender him as Lord? Do you follow him as Lord? He is the Lord. He is the master. He is in control. But do you follow him like you believe that? And so you either follow him as Lord or you reject him. Those are the two options that we have before us in this life and for eternity. What are you doing in recognition of this truth? How can you be sure if you're following Jesus as Lord? And so from this short section of truth by the mouth of Jesus himself, I want you to notice two realities for those whose foundation is Jesus. In other words, two realities for those who follow Jesus as Lord. These are also expectations. These are even commands that you're going to notice when we do this, if you're taking notes in the outline there. But so they're realities, they're commands, they're expectations, but they're also at the same time, I think they're promises. They're promised realities that will prove someone's faith in Jesus Christ to be genuine and to be sincere. So what do those who follow Jesus as Lord do? What do we do if we follow Jesus as Lord? Simply put, the first thing I want you to notice is that Christians obey the word. Christians obey the word. The word Lord in verse 46 means master. It means boss, right? It means the one in control, the one in charge. In fact, the word here even takes it a step further in what we might understand because it's talking about this idea of ownership. The word for Lord here is implying that we belong to Jesus. He owns us. So if Jesus is master, and he is, then we're called to do the things he says. What are the things he says? He said in verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? What are the things he says? Well, how can we know? Right here. The Bible, God's word. And so Christians obey the word. What Jesus is teaching us here, and as the Bible teaches us throughout, is that Christians are those who, as it says here, come to Jesus, hear his words, and act on them. It's so simple to understand that, and yet how difficult is that to do? Come to Jesus, hear his words, and act on them. He said, Jesus, in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And then in the chapter after that, chapter 15, verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You see, you follow Jesus by hearing and obeying his word. That's what followers of Jesus do. Day 4 of the daily devotions leading up to today's family group lesson in the Gospel Project, if you're in family groups and if you read that during the week, there are great devotions that kind of help prepare you for the lesson. Some of you even read them during the lesson on Sunday mornings. But a good question is asked in day 4, and it's this. What idols are you holding on to in your life that need to be confessed to the Lord? You know, if you trust and follow Jesus as Lord, he alone receives your worship. There's zero place for idols. So what changes need to happen in your life? Is there something you're holding on to that is communicating to those around you, to your kids, to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers? I'm not sure if he's really following Jesus as Lord. He seems to kind of have Jesus as Lord and then something else, and in which case Jesus isn't Lord. What are you holding on to? Will you pray for God's help to set those things aside and not fail to follow Jesus as Lord? Will you ask someone to hold you accountable, to pray for you, to challenge you, to ask you the hard questions? To follow Jesus as Lord is to obey his word no matter the difficulty or the cost. The word tells us the truth about Jesus. Like, for example, as we read in the Apostles' Creed and as we see in Isaiah prophesied and then in Matthew 1 and Luke 1 being fulfilled, that Jesus was born of a virgin. His virgin birth, as prophesied, is fulfilled. And, you know, we talked about this during Christmas time, but the virgin birth of Jesus explains all his subsequent miracles. Because think about it. If the Holy Spirit can cause a virgin to get pregnant and then a virgin to give birth to a child, then that Son of God who was born to that virgin, he can do anything else because that explains all the subsequent miracles because it explains who he is. He's the Son of God. He's God who took on flesh. And so everything else he does can easily be explained by the fact, oh yeah, he was born of a virgin as prophesied and promised hundreds of years before. And he did exactly what was promised, and now he's doing all of these other things that were promised. And so this is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. That's why this is in the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. But you know, the word also tells us of the ultimate sovereign authority of Jesus as Lord. Lord over all, right? Meaning that he has authority over all things. And the word tells us how we must respond to him, that if he's Lord, if he's the master, if he's the boss, we ought to respond by doing what his word says. Obey the word. Let me ask the kids a question. You know, in this life, kids, who's your boss? Good answer, parents. You hear that, Ryan and Amber? I know you're in here somewhere. They said it. Yeah, Dalton? Jesus, yeah. So he's the ultimate boss, but I mean, in this life, who's the boss? So you think about it. What? Parents, yep. Parents are ultimately right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, right? Ephesians 6:1. It's the first memory verse we teach our kids, because it starts there as we raise them. But so, yeah, pretty much everywhere your parents are the boss, right? But the reality is, if you're here in Sunday school or in team kid, then your leaders are your boss at that time. Or if you're at a sports practice, your coaches are your boss. If you're at school, your teachers are your boss. And so we don't say, you know, you ever have those kids, adults, that'll say to you like, well, you're not my mom. You know, you're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do. And so they're wanting to try to, you know, say, well, you're not my boss. I'm going to do, you know, I don't have to listen to you because you're not my boss. But the boss of all bosses is who? Dalton already said it, right? It's Jesus. Jesus is the boss of all bosses. He is Lord of all. And so the only time we don't obey our boss, whether it's at work or whether it's at home or whether it's at school, is if they tell us to do something that contradicts the boss of all bosses, Jesus. If I tell my kids to do something that's wrong according to God's word, then I'm wrong, and they don't have to do that. And so Jesus is the boss of all bosses. He's the Lord over all. He's the only one with all authority in heaven and on earth. No other boss has that authority, no matter how powerful he is, right? No other boss has that. Jesus alone. And he's the only one who is perfect and who will never let you down. Jesus. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is do your words and your actions and your priorities and your commitments, do they reflect that you believe that? That you believe that Jesus is Lord over all? That you believe that he's the boss of your life? That he's the boss of all bosses? That he's the master of all masters? Christians obey the word of God. Secondly, Christians endure to the end. Jesus is the foundation. We just sang songs about that. We see that in Scripture. We see that in this example, that he's the foundation. And his followers, as a result of him being the foundation, they're firm to the end because of him. Not because we've figured something out, but because Jesus is the solid rock foundation. True believers endure because their faith is in Jesus. Not because they're better than other people, but because they're trusting in the only one who is perfect, Jesus Christ our Lord. Trials and difficulties will indeed come. That's the reality of life. Just like wind and rain and floods and waves, but those with their hope in Christ will endure. Others will not endure because they cannot endure. Christ alone is the foundation who lasts. Not self, not power, not money, right? Not fame, not family names, not good careers, not hard work, not achievements, not success. Those things can be gone like that. They can be gone in an instant. But Jesus as the foundation will never end, and so neither will his followers when they put their hope in him. Endure, simple to say, right? To say endure, to think I'm gonna press on, I'm gonna do it. It's a simple thing to say and yet so difficult to do. Even in the parable that Jesus told here, he was emphasizing the effort that the person put forth to prepare the foundation, to dig deep and to lay the foundation on the rock. Those are not easy things to do. If they were, then all these foundation repair businesses that are out there wouldn't exist. Why do those businesses exist? Because people don't want to dig so deep, because it's easier to cut the corners. It's easier to not dig so deep for the house's foundation. And so we have these businesses that make thousands and thousands and millions of dollars because foundations constantly need to be repaired. Such businesses exist for that reason. And such words exist in Scripture for that reason, that people want to cut corners. People want to do things their way. They don't want to come to Jesus and hear his words and do what it says. They say, well, yeah, but that right there, that's kind of hard. I think I'll do this. I'll try it this way. And I'll try to make it work out if I try it my way. That might be the easy way now, but it comes with destruction. That's the promise. Remember earlier, you either follow Jesus as Lord or you reject him. Those are the two options. There's no other option. So it is with our faith. The easy way to throw in the towel and not follow Jesus to the end, it ends with destruction. You know, a flood that destroys homes, that's chaos, right? If you think about a flood that's strong enough to destroy a home, that's chaos. And that's the picture of life that Jesus is drawing here, because hard times will come. The floods of life do come for all of us at some point, if not several times. The floods come, the difficulties come, hard times come. Devastation is inevitable, but it's only eternal devastation if you don't have your foundation secure in Christ. You see, those who don't know and follow Jesus and thus do not endure to the end, as verse 49 says, the destruction of that house was great. There's an emphasis that Jesus is putting in this verse. And we don't see it quite in the English, but he's bringing this strong emphasis out of saying, this is a devastating, heartbreaking destruction. Now, you don't want this. It's not worth it. It's not worth what seems like, well, that might be a good life now. It's not worth the destruction that will come. It's tragic. Actions have consequences, especially actions reflected and influenced by faith have consequences. Imagine building a house by the lake. You know, I know some people here that have houses by the lake. Imagine building a house by the lake and spending all kinds of extra money, all this extra effort to make sure that you have a solid rock foundation. But then you have a neighbor next to you that's building a house, and he finishes his house twice as fast. He spends way less money than you because he didn't worry about digging so deep for the bedrock. And so now your neighbor has way more money than you. He has nicer things because he didn't spend as much money building his house. And he has a finished house, and you're still building your house. And then when your house is finally finished, his house still seems just fine. Everything looks good, and he's got a lot more stuff. And maybe even years go by without any major storms, any floods or anything else, and you start to think, why did I put forth all that extra money and all that extra effort to build this house on this solid foundation? My neighbor didn't do it. He's got all the good stuff. His life seems less stressful. He seems to be doing better than you. But you have to know the reality. The storms will come. They will. It's a guarantee. The storms will come. Your foundation will matter eventually. Your foundation will matter. And I really like the way one commentary illustrates this. He said, this is what endurance looks like. You do all this work. You sacrifice so much while your neighbor seems to be living it up, doing whatever he wants. Right? You're denying yourself and he's indulging himself. He's got the boat and you don't. But obedient discipleship means that you endure. Even when the sun seems to be shining on everyone else, you endure. But the storms will come. And when they do, the rock of Jesus will not let you down. It's a guarantee. The rock of Jesus will not let you down. No matter the storms, no matter the difficulty, Jesus never fails. Remember, I said my purpose this morning is that you will follow Jesus as Lord. So I want to ask you to really examine your heart right now. Can you say with all sincerity, with all assurance, that you are following Jesus as Lord? Years ago, there was a pastor who illustrated this well, and I want to try this morning. If you're taking notes, if you have a pen, I just want to ask you to do something really simple. On your bulletin or on your sermon notes, I want you to write down two words. Write down Lord and write down no. Just write them down next to each other. And now those two words, they cannot stand side by side in this life. They can't. And so in other words, you have to cross one of these words out, one word out or the other, you have to cross out. If there is any single area of your life where you are saying no to Jesus, you are saying no to his word, then you have to cross out Lord. Because what you're saying is, I'm making my own Lord. God, I know that your word says this. I know that you say I'm supposed to live this way. But I, you know what? I've got another plan, God. And I'm gonna do some of this, but I've got these things I'm gonna hold on to. Then you have to cross out Lord, because you're saying he's not the boss, you're your own boss. Right? You're making, in a sense, you're making up your own Jesus. A Jesus who fits to your comforts and your sensibilities, and you're saying, nope. So you gotta cross out Lord if that's the reality. But if you're gonna truly follow Jesus as Lord, you gotta cross out no for the rest of your life. You have to say, Jesus is Lord no matter the difficulty, no matter the cost, I'm following him. His word stands. His word is what I will follow. And that's it. There's no other option. The only way to serve Jesus acceptably as Lord is to submit to his word in every area of your life. And so if there is something you're holding on to, I want to plead with you this morning, don't take the chance, because you're not having Christ as your foundation if you're holding on to something else and saying that I don't want to submit to Jesus in this area of my life. That's not what you do if you follow Jesus as Lord. What's your next step to follow Jesus more closely, to follow him more faithfully? And please understand, you don't do this in order to gain your salvation. There's nothing we can do to gain our salvation. You do this, you follow Jesus as Lord because you've received salvation by the grace of God through the work of his Holy Spirit changing your heart. That's the proof right there. As you follow Jesus as Lord, that's the proof that your life has been changed, that you're not just going through the motions, but that your life has been made new, that it's been made different, right? The gospel, the good news of God's plan is that his design alone is perfect. We don't come up with some plan that's better than God's. God's design, according to his word and according to creation, is perfect. But we know the reality is that we all sin, every one of us. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, every one of us. And what does sin lead to? Sin leads to brokenness, right? Think about the brokenness. Brokenness like the house being destroyed by the storm, that's brokenness. Lives being destroyed by the storms of life, that's brokenness. Brokenness like trying to find your hope and fulfillment and your foundation in anyone or anything other than Jesus, that is brokenness. That's sin leading to brokenness. And most importantly, that means a broken relationship with God. Because our relationship with a perfect God is broken by our sin. We're not perfect. God alone is perfect. And so there's a broken relationship with God, which means that we all deserve to spend eternity in hell, because our relationship with the only perfect God is broken. And there's one thing, though, one thing only that can fix our brokenness, and that's the gospel. The fact that Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins. He died because of our brokenness. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death forever when he rose from the dead. And now if you simply repent of your sins, meaning to turn away from your sins, and you believe in Jesus alone for your salvation, he'll give you a new life. That's the good news of the gospel. Turning from your sin and surrendering your life to Jesus is the only way to be saved from your brokenness now and your brokenness for eternity. There is no other way. You know, we're still broken because we're not perfect yet, not on this side of eternity. We're still broken, but the reality is that we're being changed every single day. And so what happens is we begin to recover and to pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for our life. Because he's changing us, and we're saying, you know what? I don't want that brokenness anymore. I want Jesus as Lord. I want to follow him as Lord, that when I fail and when I fall short and I see according to his word that his word says this, and it's a lot easier to do it this way, but I want to follow Jesus, Lord, and so I'm going to constantly recover and pursue that plan and purpose that God has for me. I'm not going to settle anymore for anything that goes against God's word. And that's the proof that you've been changed. That's the proof that Jesus is truly Lord of your life as far as how you're living, that you've surrendered to his lordship. And if that proof isn't there, I want to plead with you this morning to call on his name. Call on his name. Pull someone aside before you leave here this morning and say, I need to make sure that I'm trusting Jesus as Lord, that I'm not just going through the motions, but that he is everything as he is, but that I'm following him as such. And if you've done that, if you've made that decision, if you're following Jesus as Lord, what can you do to better help others follow Jesus as Lord? Right? Who can you share the gospel with this week? Who can you encourage? And not only that, who's encouraging you? Who's encouraging you in your faith? Who's asking you the hard questions, challenging you to grow closer to Jesus? No one is able to follow Jesus and obey his word and endure to the end on our own. None of us is able to do that. We all need Christ first but we also need each other. That's the reality for all of us. And so let's make sure that we're following Jesus' Lord in every area of our lives, and that includes helping others to follow Jesus as Lord. Father God, that's our prayer this morning, that you would help us. Help us, Father, to follow you with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, with all of our strength, recognizing that to know Jesus as Lord means that he is master over all things, that his word, your word, God, is our guide, that we will not pick and choose, we will not claim to follow you and yet live our own lives. We will seek to live the life that points others to you. So we pray for your help to do that this morning, God. And we want to pray especially for those who are here this morning who haven't yet trusted in you. Please give them that desire this morning. Help them to recognize that none of us in this room is better than anyone else. None of us has it more figured out, like we're somehow better people, and yet by your grace, by the power of your Holy Spirit, some of us have been changed. We've been made new, and we thank you for that, God, because we know it's not a work that we've done or figured out or achieved or accomplished, but rather it's what you accomplished through your Son on the cross and what he accomplished when he rose from the dead. Thank you for that, God, because we know that we have no hope apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus and the power of your Holy Spirit working in us. So please give those here this morning who haven't yet surrendered their lives to Jesus as Lord, give them the desire to do that right now as we pray in their hearts, in their minds, to cry out to you and just to ask for you to take over their lives. Father, help us to be disciples who make disciples so that we would desire to help others follow you with all their hearts. We pray that you would receive the honor and glory in this time of response. In Jesus' name, amen.